Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Practitioners Podcast, where we're applying Jesus-style disciple-making to everyday life. This episode and all of our episodes are powered by Navigators Church Ministries. For more information or to get connected, go to NavigatorsChurchMinistries.org. Friends, today we are going to try something a little different, a little out of our comfort zone. Normally, when Justin and I hit record, we have already kind of put together an outline for what we're going to talk about. And we're very intentional about making sure that we bring you the most amount of content in the least amount of time, 20 minutes or less. If you've been with us, you know that this is kind of our model. And the architect of that model is Justin. So today, Justin came up with this great idea that we should have the conversation about today's episode while we're recording. So this is IRL, in real life, in real time. Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about the episode itself and what we're going to dive into?
Yeah, so the episode itself is, does everyone always need a disciple maker? Does everyone always need to be discipled? Now, Tony, I don't even know. We haven't talked about it. As you just said, we're doing this kind of live, and I don't know where you stand on this, but you've probably heard, and maybe you've said that, hey, everyone should be discipling someone, and everyone should be being discipled by someone. And it's spoken as like this normal thing that's just everybody should have these things in their life, not just for a period of their life, but always in their life. And if you're not being discipled, you need to find someone to disciple you. And, you know, it should be kind of an ongoing thing. And I'm just not so sure about that.
You just got to drop the bomb. Okay. You're not so sure about that. So here's the thought that I've said before. Everyone needs a Paul and everyone needs a Timothy, right? Because when we look at Paul and Timothy's relationship, if you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, clearly what you see in the text is Paul is the elder statesman and Timothy is the man who is up and coming in the faith and in the ministry. Paul is discipling Timothy. Now, here's where I'm going to lean in a little bit on this. I believe that every person needs mentors or disciple makers in their life. But I think how the relationship looks is oftentimes nuanced. Oh my gosh, my dog. Keep going. That's never happened. And I record a lot of podcast episodes. The dog is freaking out. My apologies. Okay, so let me just say this again, right? Every person needs to have people in their life that they can reach out to when they have something that they need to sort through. And I'm going to say that maybe it's not as intentional as beginning disciple making, but it is intentional. What do you think?
Well, yeah, so I think the problem I have when people talk about that is we always need someone to disciple us, or we always need a Paul in our life, as if, you know, we need a Paul and a Timothy. Well, that was a disciple making relationship, just as you just said, right? But I think it comes back to a lack of clarity on what disciple making actually is, right? So I think it would be laughable in Jesus's day and time for someone to say, you always need a rabbi discipling you. Because I think what we've seen, and we've looked at it, you know, previously this season, is that the purpose of the rabbi-disciple relationship was to prepare the disciple to become just like the rabbi and to go out and be a rabbi and be discipling others. Now, I don't believe that at that time, when the disciple became a rabbi, that he cut off all ties with all the other rabbis and like lived independently and all that sort of thing. But I don't think this idea of being a perpetual disciple in a discipling relationship, of course, we're perpetually disciples with Jesus, but I don't think that would have made any sense at all in Jesus' day and time. But I do agree. I think it is like, yeah, we need people in our life that, you know, hopefully are a little further along than us that we can go to and continue to learn from. We need others in our life that are kind of near or at the same place as we are, both as spiritually so, but also just in life, right? But I think it communicates some things that make me pretty uncomfortable when we say, no, we always need somebody discipling us.
Well, I think this goes back to your very exact definition of what disciple making is. And if there's one gift that I've gotten from you over the years, it's that you've really leaned into what that is in terms of what we call disciple making and what we don't call disciple making. And mm-hmm. so there are lots of people who I've discipled over the years who are still in my spiritual family, and I will never get rid of them, but they are no longer actively discipling them. Now, they're actively discipling other people, hopefully, but on occasion, there comes a point in our relationship where I just check in on them like I would kind of like an elder parent, for example. My dad is still really active in my life, and so we check in, although he's not really actively parenting me anymore. And I think that that's probably the model that is beneficial for when we think about how to transition someone from being that active discipler to being more of that spiritual parent to an adult child. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that does. Yeah, that's, and I'm really comfortable with that, right? Because I, like you do, and like we try to do on this podcast, right, is we try to think about, well, what is Jesus's example in this, but also what does scripture have to say, right? So I think of the Bereans or the Thessalonians and Acts, and the Bereans have more noble character because they examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And we want to do that too, right? So I try to think about, well, you know, what is the example that we have in scripture around this idea that everybody, you know, if you're following Jesus well, someone should be discipling you, you know, as a consistent, ongoing sort of thing, not just a thing that helps you during a season. And it's probably a longish season, right? Maybe 3 years, maybe 5 years, something like that. But in the grand scope of your entire life, that's not really going to be a lot of time. Let's hope, right? Let's hope that you're around for decades. And so, you know, when I think through scripture, I don't see any indicator that that should be a consistent thing, that it should be a long, long-term thing in a believer's life. Tony, do you have any verses that come to mind that would indicate one way or the other to you on that?
No, I was trying to think about some of the texts that we see in the New Testament. Specifically, John gives us a really interesting viewpoint. If you read the Gospel of John and then you go to John's letters, you see John's maturity in the text. And clearly in the Gospel, he's underneath Jesus's teaching. But then when we get to 1st, 2nd, and so forth, and when it comes to the book of John, right, like, and even Revelation, what you begin to see is he becomes the elder statesman. So I would say that there comes a point in John's ministry where he's more just working side by side with the Holy Spirit and less with somebody who's actively discipling them. And I think that that's probably a good model for most of us. That's tend to where I lean. At this point, you know, you and I still meet regularly to talk about life. I wouldn't say that you're actively discipling me anymore.
Right.
Although you were for a season, like we were in it. Like we were going through the tools, we're doing all those things. But now you sit on something that I've created internally called the Council of the Godly. Right. And I think you've heard me talk about this before, Justin. I don't know if our listeners have, but I imagine in my head that there is this Justice Hall type of table, like from the Justice League, just so we're all clear about that. It's a long
Superman, right?
Absolutely. And Wonder Woman and Aquaman, the DC universe, right? And it's only because they have a league. And in my head, it's the Hall of Justice, right? But I call this the Hall of the Godly. And this is the Council of the Godly. And so around this table are godly men and women in my life who I go to for certain parts of my walk. Right. And so instead of saying there's one person who's pouring into me, instead I have like a plethora of people that are pouring into me whose counsel I value because of where they are in their walk with the Lord. And so to be clear, you don't get to come to the table unless you're walking with the Lord. And I'm not going to come to you about something specific unless you're walking with the Lord. And every person on the council has kind of a different role. Like one of the things that I just deeply appreciate about our relationship is that you always challenge my intentionality and my thoughtfulness through a process, right? So if I'm thinking through something that I know is going to be multiple steps, when I think about who I want to talk to on the council, on my council of the godly, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about that. And this is kind of how I get my spiritual mentorship needs met or my kind of disciple making needs kind of focused. So that's kind of the way I think about it. Justin, how does that idea of a council or having multiple godly people in your life resonate with you?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely scriptural, right? So Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I know you weren't just talking about planning there, but you know, I do a similar thing. I don't have as cool of a imagery around it, but the idea of having people that I go to for specific things to help me in my faith and help me in my walk. And, you know, you're the guy I go to for relational questions, right? Hey, got this thing, not sure about it. Here's what I want to do, but is that going to be weird or is that going to be whatever? And so, I think that's definitely scriptural. And I think it fits with what we see, in the people's lives in the scriptures, right? So we see Paul, like I see Paul early on in his ministry, like he goes to Jerusalem and meets with James and Peter and the other elders. And he doesn't say he's going for their stamp of approval, but there's certainly a deference to them. And later on, he makes it really clear that, hey, I'm not deferring to them. I want to be real clear. Like I'm not answering to them, right? That there's a co-equalness that he seems to presume in that text of like, hey, you know, I stand with them. I don't stand below them, and we're partners in ministry here. And oftentimes he refers to others as co-laborers in ministry. And so I think at some point when we reach a place of maturity, maturity is the best way to say it, because even as adults, like, we can say we're mature, but we all have areas of immaturity still.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? We all have areas that are like, hey, we really should grow there, or it's a weakness, or however we want to say it. And I think the same is true as disciples. Now, even with my areas of immaturity, I don't need to move back into my parents' house and have them watch over me, you know, as intensely as they once did. Mm. And my dad is still really involved in my life like yours. And, you know, I value that really highly, but it's more of a friendship, a co-equal sort of thing. But I'm still giving that respect to him and honor because he is my dad, and that will always be the case.
Yeah. Now here's where I want to lean in on something that I think is important to note is that even though, you may have you kind of achieved a certain level of maturity where you don't need an active discipler. And I think that you and I are kind of in the same place on that. What I would say is this, is that if you aren't actively introducing new practices to follow Jesus into your life, then you're probably not mature. And so if you aren't growing, if you aren't moving, like it can't always be the same way that we follow Jesus. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he's calling us to a life of perpetual movement. And that's both physical movement in terms of like actually doing practices, spiritual movement, our depth and our intimacy. Like the work of the relationship, even in a mature relationship, is still movement. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. If we stop dating, it's still going to have a detrimental effect on our marriage if you stop leaning into your disciplines with Jesus. So you may need to put some people in your life who challenge that, or you may need to read something or listen to podcasts. There are so many tools that we can use to kind of continually refine our maturity. And I've been in the local church for a long time. And one of the things that I've heard for years is that old people don't like change. You've probably heard that too.
I've heard that.
Old people don't like change. I actually don't think that's true. Instead, what I like to say is we often get out of practice of change. And so the practice is what makes us, nobody likes change. Nobody likes change. But when you're young and you've got kids who are growing and changing all the time, then guess what? You've got to change. But when you become more mature and no one's forcing you to change, you get out of practice.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think you really in this episode so far, we're talking about a few different things that all connect to each other, right? So we have this idea of, hey, we need to continue to grow and to move. We need to have that movement towards maturity. And if we ever stop moving towards maturity or hungering towards that, something's a little bit off in us, right? Or something's off with what we're doing or thinking. We have this idea that, you know, connected to that is those around us, like you mentioned, your counsel. So who's around us that can help us grow in a particular area? And are we committed to, you know, really loving others and being loved by them in such a way that they're close enough to see where we need growth? And also we're close enough to see where we can help somebody else grow, right? This is what I would call fellowship or community. Like this is part of being part of the body and the kingdom is we need to do that. And if we're not, we're not being like Jesus, right? But also it connects back to this idea. If we have a lack of clarity around what disciple making is, then we start labeling disciple making lots of things that aren't. And we start to get confused about what it is disciple making is to be about and what it's for. And that's really the beginning point of the episode for me is like, hey, I don't think we should be out there saying, hey, you should always have someone discipling you and you should always have someone that you're discipling. Now, I think the last part of that, I wouldn't even say always on that. We should always be ready to disciple, but there might be a season where we're in between. And even if that's the case, we're looking and we're praying and we're actively moving towards that. But it's on the other side, right? I don't think we should always have someone discipling us. We should always be close enough to people that they see us and are investing in our growth as another brother, another sister in Christ. And we should be doing that with others. And so for me, this is like, it's important, but it's not. It's one of those things that's like important to me because words really matter, right? And we talk about that a lot. And if somebody doesn't have a depth of understanding around what disciple making is, and we're talking about, hey, you should always have someone discipling you, that can put a belief really down deep into them that changes a whole lot about their own spiritual development.
More than anything, friends, our hope is that you continue to refine what it means to be a disciple maker in the context of Jesus-style disciple making. You know, and this is what this podcast is all about. This is what Justin and I kind of lean into when we talk about this. And so many of us get distracted, not intentionally. There's no malice intent or anything like that. But we just get distracted because we let our definitions get way too broad. And in that broadness, we lose the depth of effectiveness. And I think that that's really important. And so, Justin, any closing thoughts before I give us the takeaway and action step?
No, although I think our experiment worked okay here. So this was a good conversation.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Minus the dog incident, which has never happened, but it's fine.
That's right.
Bruce Wayne is the dog's name, so maybe it was fitting. He knew we were talking about the Justice League. Anyway,
there you go.
The takeaway and action step, which, by the way, I wrote in the middle of the episode while Justin was talking. The takeaway, you may not always need an active discipler, but you do need people in your life to speak God's wisdom, right? You may not always need an active discipler, but you do need people in your life to speak God's wisdom. Action step, evaluate your counsel and evaluate your definition of disciple making. Evaluate your counsel, in other words, who you're gaining wisdom from, and evaluate your definition of disciple making. Friends, as always, it's such a privilege and an honor to be with you on this journey. If you have any questions at all, how to get in contact with us is in the show notes. We're embarrassingly easy to find, and we look forward to connecting with you guys real soon.